President-elect Donald Trump has been seeming to carry on contract negotiations with defense contractors. Boeing and Lockheed have both responded to complaints over the cost of signature airplane projects. But what does all this say about how contracting, much less defense policy, will operate under the Trump administration? For some answers, we turn to Todd Harrison, Director of Defense Budget Analytics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Todd, good to have you back.
Good to be on.
I guess maybe answers is one thing we're trying to get, but maybe all we can get at this point are educated guesses. But what do you make of this idea of seeming to negotiate like this on longstanding programs?
Well, it's certainly not traditional in any way to have the president-elect actually, you know, going out publicly and talking about specific defense contracts, specific programs, and specific contractors. And seeming to want to publicly shame them into lowering costs. And then, you know, going back and then meeting with executives from these companies and meeting with some of the program managers from the government side as well as part of the transition. I think what we can read into this is this is going to be a very different style of governing. The new president is going to be hands-on in negotiating some of these contracts, and he will not hesitate to go around these companies, to go around their lobbyists, and talk directly to the American people, even if it's through Twitter.
Because in the case of, say, the F-35, which he mentioned, and then which is Lockheed program, and met with heard from Marilyn Hewson at Lockheed. And then he said, I think he tweeted that, well, maybe Boeing would then try to come up with an alternative version of the F-18 Hornet.
Yeah.
And I imagine there must be a contracting officer, program manager somewhere in the Pentagon tearing their hair out at this point.
Yeah, they are. I mean, it creates a lot of uncertainty. But the other thing, too, that I find interesting from all of this is it's easy to try to, you know, dismiss what Trump is doing and say, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, the F-18 Super Hornet, it's not a direct replacement for the F-35. It's not as stealthy. You know, a lot of people are saying that. But there's actually, I think he is a rather educated consumer here in knowing what he's talking about. Because in the past, the Navy itself has actually proposed buying more Super Hornets and fewer F-35Cs. They proposed doing that in the past to help mitigate their strike fighter shortfall in the near term. And, you know, because the Navy does not seem to be all that enamored with the F-35C. And, you know, when it comes to the Air Force One, he, you know, talked about the price being $4 billion. That's actually about right. That comes from the Air Force's budget justification document. They had listed about $4 billion in projected costs in their budget justification in the past. Not a lot of people realized that. I don't even think a lot of people at Boeing realized that. So I think, you know, Trump is getting briefings on these issues. He's absorbing the information, and he's going out and using it.
So maybe there's an element of crazy, like a Fox type of situation going on.
Absolutely. I think that's what's going on. I don't think it's chance that, you know, he got some of these numbers right and that he knew what, you know, the one aircraft that could be a plausible alternative to the F-35 is the Super Hornet. And, you know, the fact that he knew that, I don't think it's chance. I think he is studying up on these issues and he's going to, you know, take some of these companies to task. And, you know, if you're a defense contractor, he is completely rewriting the way the game is played in Washington. You know, it used to be that the lobbying by defense contractors to curry, you know, influence with the administration and with Congress, that all happened behind closed doors. You could go and you could take your time and you could, you know, methodically present your case and have a back and forth discussion, and the public never heard anything about it. Now, you can still do that, but ultimately, the president-elect, whenever it suits his purposes, can go right around you directly to the public. And so now these companies, if they want to defend their products, if they want to defend their programs, they're going to have to figure out how to go public as well.
We're speaking with Todd Harrison, Director of Defense Budget Analysis at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. And so looking at the bigger picture here, what do you see emerging as an overarching Trump policy or approach toward defense as a whole?
Well, I think a lot of people prematurely assumed that when Trump got elected president, it was just going to open up the spigot of defense spending. And I think that what we're finding during this transition period is that's not the case. That, you know, there will be increases in some areas of the military, you know, a larger army, a larger navy, you know, some specific promises like that. But those increases may be paid for, at least in part, by cuts in other areas of defense. So I'm not so sure that we're going to see the total defense budget go up by that much. The other, probably the most consequential pick that we've seen so far as it relates to the defense budget was the pick of Congressman Mulvaney to be the OMB director. Congressman Mulvaney has been a strong fiscal hawk in the House. Been one of the Tea Party or Freedom Caucus members, and he's been a very vocal opponent of the use of OCO funding to get around the budget cap. He even sponsored an amendment this past year that would ban this practice. That could be a real issue for DOD in the future because there's about $30 billion of base budget funding that the Obama administration has moved into OCO, and it's been to get around these budget caps. And they've said in the past that, you know, if they had to move all of that back into the base budget and they don't get any relief on the budget caps, then that's effectively a $30 billion cut. Well, now they've got, you know, Mick Mulvaney is going to be the OMB director. And within the administration, he can enforce a lot of discipline about what goes into the base budget request and what goes into the OCO budget request. And so I think it's very significant that Trump picked him to be his budget director.
So that seems to send two signals. One, there's going to be some real realism about what we're talking about when it comes to the defense budget and not trying to hide things behind budget lines and titles that they are really not. And the second thing is that OMB might extend its authority a little bit more over defense, which typically there's something of a wall there for OMB.
Yeah, typically OMB has been much... They've treated DOD very differently than all other government agencies in terms of the way the budget development process works. OMB is more of an observer than an active participant. That could potentially change under Mulvaney. We'll have to see how he runs the organization. But I expect he's going to take a much more active role, and I think that that's going to be difficult for folks in the Pentagon who've been used to having this uncapped source of funding. I think it's a lot of sloppy practices that have evolved over the past 5 years are now going to be a problem.
And just a quick detail: if the F-18 in some instances can substitute for the F-35, what can substitute for a new Air Force One possibly? That's cheaper.
Well, the thing that can substitute for a new Air Force One is the existing Air Force One. You could keep those aircraft, the current aircraft, flying longer. And so I think that is the competitive threat that Boeing is going to face on the new Air Force One. I think that, he will come around on that. You know, it wasn't Boeing's cost estimate of $4 billion. It was the Air Force. And it was a very early estimate just for putting a wedge in the budget. So I think that they absolutely can come around on that program, clean up the requirements, get rid of, the gold plating, the excess of things, and get that down to a much more reasonable price.
So the press will have to sit on cloth seats. Todd Harrison is Director of Defense Budget Analytics at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You can find this interview and continuing coverage of emerging Trump administration policies at federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive.